ready and waiting to join us today. He is a man who's been kicking it with us here at World Football Daily for a very long time on the club podcast. He is, of course, always kicking it with Raphael, Mr. Raphael Geller, who's been out following the under-21 championships in Israel, joining us today on the show. Raphael, mate, how are you? How are you doing after a very long period of time? And I imagine quite a tiring time covering the under-21 championships out in Israel.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. I've always wanted to speak with you, so I'm glad I'm getting the opportunity now. And it was an amazing tournament, a lot of amazing talent from all teams, even Norway, even Israel. Just an amazing tournament to cover, and I was very excited that I got the opportunity.
Were you able to attend the majority of the games? You've obviously been out there doing your best to catch everything. So have you been at the games itself, or have you been just kind of soaking up the atmosphere and taking it all in?
No, actually, was very, very lucky. I got to see all 8 teams play, which was very exciting. My editors at the Times of Israel, the newspaper where I'm at right now that's covering it, made it possible for me to be able to check out all the teams. So even some of the teams multiple times. I saw Germany twice, Spain and Italy obviously a couple times because the semifinals and the finals. Actually, I believe I saw Italy 3 times. So very, very busy, as I told you before. And I also got to attend some other events before the matches, some press conferences. We had the UEFA president speaking yesterday, so it's been a very, very busy 2 weeks here in Israel.
We appreciate you taking some time out from getting your head down and having some kip after covering this tournament to join us here today, Rafa. When you've seen, you said every single side in this tournament. Obviously, aside from the Spanish, who even yesterday in the final was so impressive, and at points it was men against boys. Who was that side that you were really excited by watching? Was it the Italians? Were they the second best side in this tournament, or did you think Holland had a little more to show than we maybe saw in the semi final?
You know, I'll tell you what, Ali, I actually thought that the Netherlands-Holland were going to win, or excuse me, not win, but at least play good enough football to be able to compete against Spain, so I was disappointed when Italy beat them. But I want to say something. There's an Italian, number 10, Lorenzo, Insigne, who plays for Napoli. He's 22 years old. I think that he could end up becoming a star, just watching him with the ball, the way he moves without the ball. He's 22 years old, so it's now or never. I know he got a lot of hype. I heard some scouts around me say that they were very impressed with the way he was playing. We had something like, I think, 200 scouts from all the top clubs in Europe come, and I know people were very impressed with him. On the Dutch side, there's so much talent. Marco van Ginkel, I think he's going to end up in Chelsea in the next couple of days. He's 20 years old. He could be an amazing midfielder there in Chelsea. I know they're looking for someone like him. I could go on and on. There's the talent on every single team. Even Norway had a couple of impressive players. But one team, Ollie, I want to tell you that I was very disappointed with is England.
Thanks for that.
I know you're British. I know that a lot of people have been making the excuse that the right players weren't sent. We had Chamberlain didn't come and all these, Danny Welbeck. But still, with the players they had, I still expected them not to lose to my home country, Israel. I found that very disappointing. I mean, obviously, I was rooting for my country, but I was very disappointed that they lost to Israel.
It was, a thoroughly depressing tournament from an English point of view, but from an Israeli point of view, that win against England, that must have been a real feather in the cap for the footballing nation.
Yeah, absolutely. It was I don't want to say a landmark win, but it's a very big win for a country like Israel that's been struggling the last few years. Ever since we got switched to UEFA in 92, we used to play in the Asian Confederation of Football, but we all know there's politics involved, so we got switched to UEFA, and it's been very hard. We've been put in groups with the likes of Portugal and France and England throughout the year. So a victory against England was amazing. I mean, it was at Teddy Stadium, which is one of the nicer stadiums in Israel, in Jerusalem, our capital. So I was very impressed with the way our team played. I think there's some guys who really could impress some scouts and maybe make it to Europe in the next couple of years. And I know that people still, even though the tournament now in the news, they're still talking about if we didn't give up that goal to Norway in the 91st minute, I believe we would have been on to the semis. So that's a bit disappointing, but overall 4 points out of 3 matches in a major European tournament, I think the Israeli public and media will take it.
What about the tournament in general and how it's been kind of received on the streets by the people? Did you really get a feel that people were taking this as seriously as maybe I found in the UK, especially that there was a number of there was a lot more emphasis put on this under 21 tournament than previous years? Did you feel that with the way that the fans in Israel got out for this tournament and kind of got up for it?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I remember, you know, the last tournament, the U21 2011 tournament with Spain, and I just don't remember the same buzz about it. I don't remember the same kind of, I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but people tweeting about it and so much emphasis on it. So internationally, I think it was a very big tournament because of all the emphasis on the boycott and it being held in a country like Israel and all the security things that have been going on, especially our last operation in November in Gaza. So I think internationally, people were very interested to see what would happen, what the reaction would be. In Israel, I got to tell you, people were very excited. I mean, you get guys like Isco, who could be the next, you know, superstar at City or Madrid, coming to Israel. And people in Israel love football. I mean, there's no question that just because we don't, you know, win our tables or groups in Euro qualifying or World Cup qualifying does not mean we don't love football. So people were very, very excited. Last night there was 29,000 people at the finals, which I believe broke multiple records of previous Euro U21 championships. So, and a majority of those fans were not Spanish or Italian. They were mostly Israeli. I know the Dutch fans had sometimes 3,000 or 4,000 people at a match, but the majority of the fans last night were just Israelis who were going out, you know, going to watch some really good football, some really big names. Marco Verratti, of course, in Italians. Fabio Baroni, who's playing for Liverpool. So people just want to see that. They want to see big names in our small little country.
It is a country that loves its football. There's a lot of passion behind it. It sometimes has boiled over to an extent. I remember just before I covered a Beitar Jerusalem game earlier in the season, that reading about how the club offices were burnt down during the season. I mean, after the, you know, kind of a negativity like that did hit world press, how important is hosting this tournament and it being run so seemingly thoroughly, efficiently and safely, how important has that been for people to see the positive side of football in Israel, when sometimes a lot of what we see maybe in outside of the country here in Europe, we don't maybe see as many of the positive aspects of it?
So, I mean, again, very good question. So important. I spoke to multiple people on the streets, in the matches, in the press conferences, you know, everywhere. And everyone said, you know, if UEFA did not think that it would be safe for our families, for our sons, you know, I spoke to some players, parents, to come here, they would have not let it happen. We trust UEFA. We trust Israel. We trust the security. And by the end of the tournament, I spoke to the parents of Marco van Ginkel, his father, and he was telling me that he's never felt more safe in a country. He sees, you know, he sees walking in the streets people with M16s, and he said maybe it's a bit intimidating, but it's you know, you feel safe. You feel like nothing's going to happen, and unfortunately for us, there were no rockets or anything like that during the tournament. The tournament was organized really well. Last night, Platini said he was very impressed with the organization, the volunteers. And he said that people need to remember that Israel is an important part of the UEFA. You know, they're one of the 53 countries that are represented, and they should have the same rights as Switzerland, as France, as, you know, and so on. So I think Israel hosting such a major tournament with such big names, I think it's a very good way for us to promote our country, to show that we're good people, we're nice people. And hopefully, you know, you never know. Maybe in 50 years we'll get the real Euro here. Probably not, but I'm allowed to hope, right?
Hey, you can have the fingers crossed, Rafa, all you want, mate. Just finally, before we let you go, because I know you have to be off very quickly today. It was a tournament that was run well, that was so entertaining, unless you were an England football fan. And it was finished off with a flurry by Spain in that final against Italy. No surprises, really, that these were the two finalists for the European Championships last year, but the quality coming out of these two, and Spain in particular, did you get the feeling throughout that Italy were being really quashed by the Spanish last night and were restricted in their play, whereas Spain just kind of cruised through, especially a lot of that second half? How impressed were you, Rafa, by that final, the quality on offer and the dominance that Spain showed at times?
I'll tell you what. I think this Spanish team, and I just did for Kicking In with Rafael last week. I spoke to Giannis Mihalchuk out of ESPN Soccer Press Pass, and he told me he thinks this Spanish team could compete in the World Cup or the Euro and make it far. Not win. He didn't say win, but make it far. And I, you know, when he said that, I shook my head. I remember during the recording, and said, "Nah, you're crazy." And the more I watched this team, the more I said, "Whoa, maybe he's right." I mean, you have guys like Isco, Morata, Real Madrid. Thiago, I mean, it goes on. Their goalie is the starting goalie of Manchester United, and he's 22. I mean, this team is so talented. Same with Italy, but yeah, very, very impressive, the Spanish team. And I think everyone in the journalist box yesterday didn't, I don't think anyone, even the Italian journalists, thought that Spain would not win this tournament.
One thing we've learned on World Football Daily is never to question Janusz. That whatever you do, Rafa, you never question what Janusz tells you.
I made a mistake.
And Spain as well. There are 8 of these players that can go back to the next under 21s tournament as well. The development scary. in youth is scary. Would you, on the back of this tournament, would you have Spain down still after the whole talk of the uprising of German football? Would you still have Spain though as still that number one footballing nation in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a doubt in my mind. You look at them in the Confederations Cup playing against Uruguay, the senior team. It's so effortless. I mean, that's a word that they don't even look like they're trying. Obviously, they are. That's a sign in any kind of physical activity and dancing and sport, that if it looks effortless and you're playing so well, it's just amazing. And this whole generation, I mean, you look at a guy like Juan Mata coming off the bench for Spain, it's just ridiculous. Any other countries in the world would die to have him in the starting 11, and he's just casually coming off the bench. Like you said, 8 of these guys can come back. I mean, yes, it's 2 years from now, but I say, hey, mark down Spain as the Euro U21 champions in 2015, because I just don't see anyone, you know, catching them. It's that simple. They're so talented. They play so well together. You forgot, you know, during the championship game, I had to remind myself, these guys are 20 years old, 21 years old, 22 years old. It was amazing the way they pass the ball, the way they play as a team. Just unbelievable, I have to say, unbelievable.
They are a world phenomenon watching the Spanish football team and almost replicate the same style of that senior squad. Rafa, just give us a heads up on what's coming up on Kicking It with Rafael on World Football Daily as well in the podcast coming up in the next week or so.
Yeah, I'm very glad to announce I'll be doing my 20th episode. That means I've been with you guys for 5 months. It's been an absolute pleasure. I was just telling Rafa, I've enjoyed every single minute of it. I've enjoyed recording all the interviews, and of course now it seems very fitting that right before my 20th show I come on with the big guys, the big boys from World Football Daily. So it's very, very exciting for me, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity. You know, we're just going to keep doing what we do. We're going to preview more of the Confederations Cup. We're going to look at some of the transfers, talk about some of the big openings for managerial positions, and have some great guests, and just continue kicking it with Rafael. That's what we're going to do.
And we will continue in kicking it with Rafael here on World Football Daily. You're always welcome on this show, mate. We would always love to keep you coming back throughout the season and throughout this summer, as well as the Confederation Cup continues. And of course, the transfer news from all around the globe continues to hit us as well. It's been an absolute pleasure to get you on the show, mate, for the first time today. And we look forward to catching up with you in the podcast and on the show later on in the future, man.
Sounds good. Have a great day out there. I know it's you have a long day, so have a good day.
And you, mate. And you. And congratulations on finally making it through the back end of the Under-21 Championships, man.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Rafael Geller joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things European Under-21 Championships. He was out there covering the whole thing. And as he says, a huge opportunity for them to show off and showcase the fact that, you know, Israel... It gets some bad press in the media, especially with some of the football actions that we've seen on this season. I mentioned that Beitar Jerusalem bit moment in the interview with Rafael. But at the same time, you know, they've put on this tournament so well, so safely, and it's not been a surprise. I want to make that clear. It's not been a surprise that that's happened, but it just shows that you know, the skeptics out there.